You're listening to the Brown to Green podcast. Now, here's your host.
Hey guys, we're back. That intro is very long. We're back where it's Lauren here and my co-host Priscilla.
Hello.
And with us today we have Alicia McDaniels.
Hello.
Yeah, we can hear you, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think.
Yep.
I can hear myself.
I'm still new at doing this by myself, and you know, Priscilla's just along for moral support here until we figure this out. Yeah. So it's going to be a little rocky when we come on. I think the men probably have a better handle of it. I think they might have done it more by themselves, where I'm normally I have Lori here and Jeremy used to do all this. So it was pretty simple, but we'll get the hang of it.
I was expecting a little music.
There was like a 2-second intro.
Oh, was there? I didn't even hear it. I blacked out.
It was there. But we have not. I think it's been, I was talking to Michael today. I think it's been since before Christmas that we had podcast.
Yeah.
And I think it was, I don't remember if Ashlyn was our last or if it was the Nelsons. Michael and I did the Nelsons. You think?
I think so.
So it's been a minute. So I'm happy to be back. I've actually really missed podcast. I enjoy it.
My one experience was good.
I know. Well, you're never going to live down the greetings thing.
No.
Michael will never let you live that down.
I can't believe that came out of my mouth.
It started and she said, greetings. I thought it was perfect, but you know. So we have Alicia and I think we'll start off with telling us one cool, unique thing about yourself. I guess it doesn't have to be cool, just unique.
I don't drive on the highway.
That's wild.
I prefer not to.
No, not ever. I mean, I'll ride on the highway. But I will not drive on the highway, and I haven't since 2009.
Oh,
what happened in 2009?
I was in a car accident, and so, you know, and everywhere in Oklahoma has back roads, so I don't need the highway.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Dustin Hunt wants to circle me on this.
Some things are, you know.
So you're just used to 30 to 45 minute commutes everywhere you go, huh?
That's my pace. Like, I'm good.
I just want to take
the slow route.
When my kids were little, I hate it. I wouldn't take them on the highway. Yeah. I didn't like driving by semis.
Mm-mm. I still don't.
I think it was many years later where I got comfortable taking them on the highway.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's crazy out there.
It is.
It is a little wild out there.
It is. I don't like it.
I feel that.
I have no need.
Yeah. Hey, Priscilla. Can I throw you the curveball?
Sure.
You tell us something unique about yourself?
Something unique about myself. I have the ability to go into like hyper-focus mode.
Oh, I wish I could do that.
And just like, I know, it's wild. But you won't see me for a while. And my family suffers when it happens. But during one of them, I have been able to figure out how to solve a Rubik's Cube in under 2 minutes.
Nice.
Yes. Wow. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
Addison took a whole, like her grade, I don't know if it was like sixth or seventh grade, they would take a class and one of them was learning how to solve the Rubik's Cube. I don't know that she ever did. You might have to show her sometime.
Oh, like in school they taught them how to do that?
Yeah.
Wild.
That's kind of cool. She would had like a million different kinds of Rubik's Cubes.
Yeah, now it's just a fidget for me. Yeah. Joey got me a really nice one for Christmas. It's got magnets in it. It came with like oil and brushes.
What's
like,
that for?
To clean out your middle
it's
device
like,
that spin. Yeah.
It's like intense. That. Uh-huh. Wow.
But it's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
That's a good present.
It was a good present.
So when we don't see Priscilla for like
she's trying to get under that 1 minute mark.
She's cleaning her Rubik's Cube today. It's one of those days, guys. She's tucked away. So, Alicia, yes. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm married. I have 3 kids, 2 adult children, 21, 19, and a 7-year-old.
Seven already?
Yeah. Well, he'll be 8 in May.
Crazy.
Yeah, he's gotten big.
A little when we started here. I work in psychiatry, and I like to stay home. I don't like to venture out.
I can relate to that.
Yeah.
I had to go into the office yesterday and today, and you would think I was dying.
I know. They were going to start going in like 2 days a week, and I was like, what?
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
I'm not sure.
I
can do that.
You have to put real clothes on twice a week.
Yeah, and you have to socialize.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Thankfully, my office is kind of tucked away. And then when I go to the bathroom, I'm like tunnel vision. No.
Yeah.
I go say hi to people. I only see them twice a week.
Yeah. I mean, I work in psychiatry, so I get lots of different people that want to just talk all day. And I'm like, I have to shut down. I
can't. Hibernation mode.
Yeah. Well, because when you work at home for so long,
yeah,
you know, you're not used to.
What made you decide to get in psychiatry?
Oh, man. I've been in psychiatry for 7 years now. It just kind of fell in my lap and in nursing. And then I fell in love with it. And I've just followed these two providers around every clinic that they've ever gone to. Like, I've followed them. And so now they own their own clinics and we're starting there, and I just love it. There's a lot of people that need help.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you get the chance to talk about the Lord with them, that's even better. Because some of these people just think that, you know, medicine's going to fix it all, and it doesn't. So.
Yeah. That's awesome.
But I love it. It's, you know, a lot of darkness, and that is when you're able to talk about the Lord, when, you know, you can filter through people who's mm-hmm. willing to listen, it's really good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, as far as Jesus goes,
yeah.
When did you meet Jesus?
So I was raised by my mom and two grandmas, and they were like, I've been in church my whole life, and so like it wasn't an option. So I would say like the first time that I was saved and kind of knew about Jesus and was when I was 13. But now looking back, I was like, oh, I didn't really know Jesus. My friends are all doing it, you know. So
yeah.
And then in 2012, my mom, she was dying of cancer and she wanted to be rebaptized. And we had been doing scripture together and reading the Bible together throughout her time at home on hospice and things. And so we got baptized again. And that was really special because I knew I was an adult, right? I knew Jesus. I developed more of a relationship with him. And so it wasn't like when I was 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's, you know, and I've always been in church. Even as an adult, we, you know, church every Sunday and Wednesday. I was raised Baptist, and so we had Wednesday night church. We had Sunday morning, Sunday nights, and so probably around that time, I was 32, was when I would probably say that's when I really knew, like, my footing of, like, Jesus, and I wanted him to, you know, be savior of my life. Mm-hmm. But I will say, I don't... Looking back, like, I didn't know who he truly was like I do now, you know, because when you're in church, or the way that we do things here is so different than the way I was raised. Like, we listened to our pastor, you know, we weren't taught to dig into the Bible and find out who the Lord is. And so, you know, through this and coming to this church and, you know, our discipling program, like, I've really been able to know who he is, mm-hmm. and like what it all truly means now. So I think it means it's different now that I know, the more that I know, mm-hmm. the more wisdom that I gain.
Yeah.
So
that makes sense. Yeah. So you got to be baptized with your mom.
Mm-hmm.
That's special.
Yeah. It was good.
I love that.
I do too. Yeah.
I feel it. You want me to come in, interject. Okay.
You have four people listening.
I know. I'm so sorry, guys.
You got three people over here that would just be dead quiet the whole time.
Lori, if we had, yeah,
I know. Lori, we still miss you.
We do.
So I was trying to pay attention. I really was. You got baptized when you were younger.
Yes.
Right. And then again when you became an adult. Can you share with us maybe what led to you wanting to get baptized again as an adult?
Because
I know your mom was walking through cancer, but what sort of led you guys to do it? What sort of led you to do it again and why with your mom?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's a good question. So I knew, obviously, that when I was 13, I didn't mean it and I didn't really understand it. And so growing up, you know, I've continued to follow the Lord, but I would say the last year of my mom's life, me and her would do Bible studies and we would really dig into the Word more. And so then I had a better understanding. And then I was like, I don't think that when I was 13 that I knew what I was doing. You know, I'm probably really not saved because I didn't really mean it. And so in that, we had talked about, me and her both, we were like, we should get baptized again because my mom hadn't done it since she was a child either. And so both of us figuring out together, like, oh, okay, we're adults now.
Yeah. You have a better understanding.
Yeah. We didn't mean that when we were kids. We didn't know what we were doing. And so in that, we just were like, okay, let's do this.
That's very cool. And when was this?
2012.
2012.
And then she died in 2013.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So would you say around 2012 is when you started learning how to read and study your Bible?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I had never, I mean, I went to church. I didn't study my Bible outside of that.
Okay.
And so when my mom was told that there was nothing left for her, you know, she didn't really study her Bible either. She knew the Lord. She knew Scripture. She didn't never sit down and had time that she spent in the Word.
Yeah.
And so that was really important to her that we read the Bible together and that we do some Bible studies. And so we did that. And then, yeah, I would say, yeah, we definitely gained a better understanding then.
Yeah.
Of knowing who he was. And
very cool. Would you say that your life began to look different the more that you dug into his Word?
Yes. Yeah.
What kind of,
for sure,
what kind of big differences would you say that you saw happening in your life the more that you began to, you know, chase after his Word and get to know him?
I would say, one, I learned what grace was and how to give grace. Forgiveness was really one that I learned. My ex-husband at the time, during that time, was not the greatest. And so learning how to give him grace in that and forgive him for things, that was the biggest for me, because I was like, I don't want to forgive him,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
And so, yeah, that was the biggest for me, was forgiveness and grace. Yeah, because I'm not, or I wasn't then one to give grace.
Oh, okay.
At all. Yeah. Like, you're mean to me. I'm like, sorry, we're done, you know? So I think that is my biggest thing, is giving grace to people.
Very cool.
So when did you start coming to Hera?
We started coming in 2019.
And this was you and Marty,
yeah,
and Jack.
Me and Marty and
Jack.
And
then Ava was still coming. Yeah, yeah, she was younger.
Yeah.
I don't think your oldest.
Kyle, he came. He wasn't one that came with us every Sunday. He came a couple of times, but then he shipped out to the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
He was 17 when he left. He graduated a year early, and he was like, going to the Navy. So yeah. So he's been gone the whole time.
Yeah.
That we've really been here.
And I know Ava's gone through youth and she's off in college now.
Yeah,
so you came, what year did you say?
2019 in November.
Okay.
And then, you know, right after that was the pandemic.
Oh yeah. When everything shut down.
Yeah.
We did house church.
House church. Yeah.
Man, that seems like forever ago.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
And that was completely foreign.
Yeah.
To me.
For all of it.
What is house church?
Yeah.
You know, like, what are we doing? So that was different. But I actually miss house church.
I kind of do.
I enjoyed it. I loved it.
Yeah.
So I do. I miss house church. Like, every once in a while, it would be nice to be like, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can still do house church.
I know, but I love coming to church too. So
you do it on a different day.
Yeah.
Do it on do Wednesday house church.
Yeah.
I think our neighbors probably thought we were crazy back then.
What did you love about it?
Well, about house, it's just that there was, because I'm not very, or I wasn't then very social.
Okay.
And so like people make me nervous.
Okay.
I think that's just part of my past. So it was like smaller and it was like more intimate. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I liked. Cause I did come from a really small Baptist church, like Hera churches. I was like, what? I can't go here. So I just liked that it was small and it was intimate, and I don't know, it was just really good.
Do you feel like it fostered an environment for you to grow closer to
yeah.
the Lord?
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely.
What house church did whose house church did you guys go to?
Elsa and Dustin.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's cool.
And then that's who I walked with was Elsa.
You were discipled by Elsa.
Discipled by Elsa, yeah.
You want to share about that a little bit?
Yeah.
What that was like
when I first we came here, Marty's friend, best friend Ricky, him and his wife invited us. They used to come to church here. And so Marty, like I believe in the Lord, but he was never in church. And so he was like, I don't know, Ricky wanted us to go to church. Do you think we should go? And I was like, yes, yes, we should go. I can't believe you're saying you want to go. And so we came, and Mindy introduced me to Elsa. Well, when I met Elsa, she was holding the door open for people to come into the church and greeting people. Well, for my old church, that's what the pastor's wife did. So I immediately in my brain thought, oh, she's the pastor's wife. She's holding the door and greeting everybody. And so we had come a couple of times, and so I still didn't know. I thought she was the pastor's wife. So I messaged her on Facebook, and I was like, hey, do you guys do Wednesday night services? Because that's what I was used to. And so she had messaged me, and we met up, and we met at Mazio's one day, and found out she wasn't the preacher's wife. And so we just started talking and building a relationship. And then I did the lights for like a year and a half. Mm-hmm. I was back in the booth. So it was perfect for me because I didn't have to venture out, meet anybody. So I was like, yeah, I'll do it. But then, yeah, she asked me to walk with her and do discipleship. And I had no idea what it meant. No clue. In my mind, I was like, okay, a bunch of women doing Bible study. I was wrong. But it was it was life-changing. It was so good. Like, I miss it.
Yeah.
We had a big group, and I do miss it at times.
What caused it to be life-changing for you?
Learning how to dig into the Word, learning how to have an intimate relationship with the Lord, and building relationships with others. That to me was the biggest. For me, I really got to know who the Lord was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Instead of listening to, you know, other people tell me who the Lord was. Like, I got to know who he really was because I was able to break down scripture. I was able to dig in discipleship. Like, you're always abiding, you know, you're always in the Word. And so that to me was life-changing because I'd never done that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What would you say is the hardest part about discipleship?
When your yuck comes out. But it's it's hard, right, when it all comes out. But it's so good, like, when you have the freedom from it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think that there was anything hard other than that. I mean, I feel like we had a really good group. Like, we had... like, we were all close with each other, and it was just good. Like, the late nights were hard,
mm-hmm.
but just walking out the yuckiness, you know, that the Lord reveals that you don't think that's yucky, and then having to walk in obedience, you know, for the first couple of times, that was hard, you know, like, because you've never had to do that before.
Yeah.
You know.
So people hold you accountable.
Right, yes. Yeah. So that was probably the hardest at first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's still hard.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that it ever gets really easy.
But I think, because I constantly find myself in a kairos and circling myself, but when it's all done, I'm like, oh, like I can breathe, you know? Like, it's, yes, that was yucky, but it was good.
Yep.
And I'm glad that happened. You know, I don't ever once has it been like, oh, I regret that.
Yeah.
Or I don't think that was good. Yeah. You know, it's always been good. And there's always been freedom in it, so
yeah,
I don't mind them.
Right.
I really don't. Like, there's yuckiness, I want to walk it out, mm-hmm. because I love the feeling after.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, if you're willing to be transparent, would you mind sharing with us maybe one of those things that you've had to walk through and how the Lord showed up and gave you freedom?
Oh, yeah. Do you want a big one or a small one?
I Ooh. Want whatever you're willing to share with the audience.
So probably my biggest one was trust with the Lord. And it took a long time, like probably a couple years before I finally got it. Like I had been circled over and over again, but and it kind of is going to go in hand to hand, but the first one was like I think you guys know this story, but like I kept praying to God. I was like, my husband will not be saved. Like he will not get baptized. And I kept pressuring him, and he was like, it's not time. I'm not there yet. And so part of that was like, I wasn't trusting the Lord with him. Right.
Right.
And a control issue on my part. And so, you know, once I gave that to the Lord and I surrendered it to him, like in that moment, the Lord spoke to Marty and was like, you need to go get baptized. And we didn't, like, he didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what the Lord was saying to him until we got in the car that day at church. And,
yeah.
But then, you know, those things where you do surrender things to the Lord, but then there are times where you're like, I'm going to take that back,
right.
You know?
Yep.
So then that went over into my kids. And Ava was like, Kyle had just left. Ava was fixing to be off to college, and we had went to Choctaw Road one night to visit. We went with Elsa and Dustin and a couple of other girls in our group. And I can't remember exactly what he was preaching about, but it was trusting the Lord and letting go. And I, like, it convicted me. And after, like, I was crying, and after Elsa's like, what's wrong? And I was like, so I was telling her, and Dustin Hunt actually grabbed me and he was like, hey, let's talk about this. And he asked me to go meditate with the Lord, like, go sit and meditate with him. And I was like, I've never done that. And so I did. I went home that night after the church service, and I stayed up all night long, like just in my living room. I was praying. I was just sitting quietly, and I was like, just reveal to me why I'm not trusting you and why I keep picking it back up. And he just kept going, like, your mom's letter. And my mom's like, my mom's letter. And so I went back and I read my mom's letter. My mom had written letters to us before she died and put them in a safety deposit box. And so I went back and I read my mom's letter. And in that letter, partly in the letter, she was like, you know, when you were a child, I didn't want anything to ever happen to you. So I was constantly hovering over you. I didn't let you, you know, do much as a kid. I just didn't want anything to happen to you or you to get hurt. And I was like, oh, that's why. My mom didn't trust me with the Lord. And so then I carried that
right
into not trusting the Lord with my kids. And it just kind of, like, it was, you know, kind of that generational thing. So that was the biggest for me. It was like, wow, like, she did not trust the Lord with me, mm-hmm. which is why she was so strict. And so in that moment, like, I gave it to the Lord again, and I haven't picked up. I gave it to him. I surrendered my kids to him, and I have not picked it up since then. And I do. I trust him wholeheartedly with my kids. Like, my son is deployed right now in a really bad area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Ava is a 19-year-old girl off to college. And normally I would have high anxiety and stress about it. And I don't. I surrendered my kids that day to the Lord. And I was like, I wholeheartedly trust you. They're not even my kids anyways. They're yours. Mm-hmm. I've not picked it back up. So
that's cool.
That's been the coolest one so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on. Praise the Lord for that.
Yeah. Breaking generational curses.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's, at first I was like, oh, that's yucky. I wish she was here so we could talk about it.
I know.
But, you know, I do have to say, as much as she didn't trust the Lord with me, she was the best mom, and she did such a good job. And if it wasn't probably for a lot of her strictness, I might have turned out a little different.
Who knows?
Well, and she probably didn't even realize that she wasn't trusting the Lord.
She had no
you.
Idea.
Yeah.
She had no idea. No
She's
clue.
Just being mom.
Yeah. She had no clue, but she was a strict mom. I didn't.
Were you an only child?
I was until I was 19 years old, and then I had a sister.
Oh, okay.
Or she had a sister. she had another child, which was my sister. And so we're 19 years apart.
Yeah. I remember hearing about her.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Is it fun being older sister like that? No?
No. It's almost like the mom, you know? And so, and I'm not like my mom as far, I'm a strict mom, but not like my mom was. So, I don't know, my sister was 13 when my mom died. And so, up until that point, my sister was, you know, she had a very strict life, like I did. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, after my mom died, her life went a different way. And so, trying to be the mom and trying to help her, it was hard.
Yeah.
It was hard. It was not easy.
Yeah.
Is she still close in the area? Is she around? Did she move away?
You know, I'm not really sure where she's at right now.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I'm not real sure.
So you went through discipleship with Elsa.
Yes.
And so now you are leading a group?
Yes.
Yeah. How's that going?
Yeah, it's really good. I lead with Dawn, and so we have some women in our group, and we're just kind of in the beginning, you know, D1. But it's been really good. Like obviously there's challenges in discipling. But like it's been good, and watching, you know, these women learn how I learn is just super cool.
Yeah. What do you think? What are your thoughts? Like being discipled or discipling? Which one's harder? Which one's easier in your opinion?
Oh man, I would say being discipled is hard, you know, because you're learning how to be different than what you used to be. You're learning how to break curses. Yeah. But I also think discipling is hard because you're trying not to overstep the Lord, you know, and make them follow the Lord, not you. Or be dependent on you, but be dependent on the Lord. And so I think they both have their challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think the both of them are fun.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, no, my discipleship group was awful. So terrible.
I've heard.
Yeah. I think it's both great. Yeah.
I love it. And you're in youth.
Yes. That was another, you know, like the Lord's bringing me out of this comfort zone for the last year and a half.
Yeah, you're not hiding in your little sound booth box.
I know. But Whitney had asked me to do youth, and I was like,
Whitney, she's the worst.
Absolutely not. Like, I was like, yeah, I'll think about it. I'll sit with the Lord. I never did. So in my mind, like, Alicia had already was like, absolutely not. And I'll wait a little bit to tell her.
Break it to her easy.
Yes. And so then I had just started Nehemiah, and then the Choctaw shooting happened at the game, and I was like, and I'm sitting in Nehemiah, and I was like, our kids are in trouble in today's world. Like, our kids are in trouble, and if Nehemiah can leave the palace and go help the Lord's people, like, I can do youth. And so I called Whitney, and I was in tears. I was like, I'll do it. And this is why. And so, yeah, I'm in youth, and I love them.
Well, good. They love you.
I know. And you. I was like, I went in going like, I'm just doing a season, and that's it. That's all I'm doing is a season. But my girls have, and the Lord has decided my fate. And
don't you love when we make our own plans and the Lord's like, well, I don't, hang on a minute.
Yes, yes. Because I will probably be in it until they all graduate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she has Addie in group.
Okay.
So she's got that group of girls.
They're, yes.
They're at a really fun age. Mm-hmm.
What age is Addie?
13.
So eighth grade.
Yeah. Eighth grade. Yeah. 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 Yes. Well, 13 and 14, yeah. Right? Yeah. Addie turns 14 this summer. So some of them are probably 14.
Yeah. And I love them all. They're all.
They love
They're
Alicia.
So much fun. They're so much fun.
Yeah. I love that age.
Well, and you know, my daughter's gone. So now I have like four more daughters. And so.
But you get to give them back.
Right.
So it's
absolutely.
Like, you get the fun times.
And have fun, you know, and teach them about the Lord, but then send them right back home, you know.
I know Addie came home and she's like, look at my notebook Alicia got us. And then she was like blown away that the pen had an eraser.
Oh, I did not know that that existed.
Yeah.
Until she showed
she's
me.
She's like, look.
And I was mind blown. I was like, that's a thing?
So was she. She yeah. was like, I didn't know a pen could erase.
I didn't it's either. Coolest thing I had in no world. Idea. It was so cool. I still use mine at work.
I love that.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I love those girls. And so I will... Marty asked me, he's like, so how did that work out for you to plan your own path? And I was like, yeah.
Well, one, you're like, I'm not going into youth. And the mm-hmm. Lord's like, yeah, you are. And then yeah. you're like, okay, I'll just do a season. And he's like,
no, you're not.
You'll no, be back.
You're going to do it all to the whole way. Because I do. I love them so much. And I couldn't imagine just doing a season with them and mm-hmm. then being like, oh, I'm done. You know, I couldn't imagine doing that. So,
and it is sometimes it's hard to go. Mm-hmm. It's but once you're there, like that was my experience. There would be Sundays where I'm like, oh, I don't want to go. It's not that I don't want to sacrifice the time. Right. It's just that I don't want to get back out of my house.
Right.
Right.
It was that hour before it began.
Yes.
Feeling of dread.
Yeah. And then once you're there, it's fine. And then the girls are like,
yes,
they make it worth it.
Yes. Well, that's kind of like discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm like, I don't want to go. Yeah. I'm tired. It was a long day at work. But then once you get there, you're immediately filled up. You know. Yeah.
See, mine it's is, I don't want to clean the house. Like, do you guys mind if there's like toothpaste all over the sink?
Not
probably
at all.
Not.
I don't mind. Made me feel better, actually.
It's like you're human, you know?
Yeah.
We cannot have it all together 24/7.
No.
Like, it's fine. No. It's fine. I know, like, today Marty has group, and I was like, sorry, the bathroom's not cleaned.
They're men.
I'll be okay. I'm leaving.
Can't get to everything.
Yeah, you can't.
You know, if there's food, you're winning.
Yes.
Nobody cares about the bathroom, as long as there's toilet paper.
Right. Nobody cares. I don't care.
Do you do group at your house, or do you do it at Dawn's, or do you guys
alter?
No,
we do it at Dawn's.
So how's co-leading? How you guys like that?
I think it's good. So, like, for us, we're... her strength is my weakness and vice versa. Like, we can play off of that. And then, you know, she's helping me grow up in that weakness where she's strong and vice versa. And like, I think it's good. You know, we can feed off of each other and help each other out. Mm-hmm. I like it. I couldn't imagine doing it by myself. I mean, I could obviously, but I do like having a partner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it too. Mm-hmm. Do you co-lead?
I do not co-lead. I have not ever yet. Not saying I won't. Totally open to it, but it just hasn't been presented to me yet. So we'll see.
Yeah. Both are good.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Like, after co-leading, I'm like, I don't want to ever go back.
Yeah.
Like, it's just good.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, once I went down to just three women around the table, I'm like, oh, I don't know that I'll ever go back.
Yeah.
Right.
And more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. My first group was big, and it was challenging when you're the only person. And our group was pretty decent size.
Six.
There's six of us.
Well, and I think Elsa could probably say that, too, about us.
She had
us.
A pretty big group, too.
We had a big group, and there was challenges. And so we have a small group, and it's I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah, it does.
I love it. I love it, too, because then it doesn't, like, every week you're not the one teaching every mm-hmm. week. It's cool for the women to get another perspective and see another person teaching, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty cool.
I do. I enjoy it.
Yep. What else?
Well, I do have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
So, you know, I don't know if this was how it was for you, but I remember when I was walking with Rachel, when it came time for me to start walking with other women, I didn't remember a thing she said. I was like, what'd she teach me? Oh, no.
I need to be re-discipled.
Exactly. But I think the thing that the way that I was blessed the most, that is that it caused me to dig into the Word and relearn these things for myself. And it gave me an opportunity to hear how the Lord was speaking to me in it. And it made me almost walk through all these things again a second time in a different way. Yes. Do you find that to be maybe your experience mm-hmm. as well?
Yeah. I'm definitely digging in before we haven't really done a bunch of big tools yet, mm-hmm. but there's been some things that we've done, and I'm definitely digging in and relearning mm-hmm. Before I go and even do it. 'Cause I'm like, I need to make sure that I have that right, you know, from because I barely remember that. That was a little while ago.
Right.
So yeah, definitely digging in and relearning it.
Yeah.
Yourself.
And I think the fun part is at this point, I don't know that I've ever taught anything the same way twice.
No, I doubt it.
Yeah. It is ever changing, ever increasing as the Lord reveals more to me and allows me to understand more. I get to give more away, right, which I'm so thankful for. So sorry to my first crew of ladies.
I feel that way sometimes too. I'm like, you guys need a redo because I feel like I've learned so much more. And but you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So right. And we give you grace.
And the Lord meets everybody in it, yeah, because it causes you to run to the Word and study it. And then I've noticed that in my own life, the Lord is the best teacher for me.
Mm-hmm. You absolutely
know, people can teach me all they want, but I'm not gonna, for some reason the revelation does not hit me until I am alone after with the Lord.
Yeah. Yes. I had a woman like that in group that I would teach it to her and she'd be like, okay, but I knew as soon as they stepped away and they went and sat with it, mm-hmm, that the Lord would reveal himself to them in that. Mm-hmm. And he always did every time.
And I'm thankful for that.
Oh yeah.
Because
that's what it's about anyway.
It teaches me that it does not depend on me.
Right.
Also, my words carry no power,
mm-hmm,
no weight. Yeah. It is the Lord's word and his word alone, right, that has the power to change people.
Yeah.
You know.
What's
happening?
What is that?
Oh, somebody's
my gosh,
practicing drums.
What
I was like,
day is this?
I don't know. Oh, it's Thursday. I thought the podcast was telling us where it is.
I was like, how are you doing that? Okay, well, they didn't read the sign on the door that's open that says podcast, be quiet. I was like, how's it playing music all by itself? That is crazy.
I know.
You know what? I'm going to mute my mic and go shut the door. Not that it's going to make much of a difference.
Right. That is so funny.
But back really to that, and two, I have found, like, from where I learned it in group, and like if I'm restudying it, like it's saying something different than what it did the first time to me.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
You know, because that also teaches you just how much depth there is to the word.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
And you can study the same thing over and over again, and you will always walk away with more.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, if that is not a picture of the immeasurable depth of the Lord, then I don't know what is.
Well, because sometimes I feel like if I read it this day, I may not have been ready for,
right?
Or he, you know, may have not thought that I was ready to hear that in that moment. But here we are, you know, a couple months later, and he's like, "Here it is again," and you're like, "I'm ready for you to hear it this way because I know now you're gonna really understand what I'm trying to tell you," and that's how it's worked for me.
Very cool. Yeah. So what have you been reading lately and what's the Lord been showing you in it?
So I'm for the last year and a half, it's been about like getting out of my comfort zone. And so in that, like I ended up in Exodus and where Moses, the Lord was like, go get, you know, the children of Israel. And Moses was like, who am I to do that? Like, and who am I supposed to say sent me? You know, like And that just kind of reminded me of myself, like, who am I, you know, that you want me to do these things, youth, pray out loud in front of the church, get on stage and tell a story. And it's just, it's a good reminder for me of like, it's what the Lord is asking. It's what he's wanting me. He's the one that is giving me, you know, this, like he wants it, not me, not anybody else. So the Lord's like, I am. Like, you can do anything that I ask you to do because I'm, like, right behind you. Mm-hmm. And so that's been the lesson that I'm walking through right now is just remembering that, like, whatever is being presented, like, the Lord is right behind me.
Yeah.
Like, he's the one that's making the path.
Yeah.
And that's not always easy to remember. Yeah. For me anyways. So.
Right.
Yeah.
What was that word that the Lord said to Moses when he was like, but I have a stutter?
Oh, yeah. And he's like...
Who created your mouth?
Yeah, I love that whole thing. Yes, like, who do I say sent me? I am.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Sent you.
It's like my shirt. So, you know.
I know, I think about that every time I go to talk out loud. I'm like, my words don't come out smoothly. Lord, why me?
Right, why? And I don't. Like,
send
when I
someone
get in public,
else.
Yeah,
when I get in front of people, I can be like Moses where I'm stuttering and I forget everything that I want to say or anything that I want to pray about out loud. Just stumble, but you know, it's okay.
I bet the words that he wants out come out.
Yeah.
I don't know with me though. Once I get past the and the, you know, the real right. stutters and
yeah.
it eventually gets out.
Yeah. We're just good. Right now we're working on anxiety. Thank so you. I'll get there. I'll turn that over next to yeah. the Lord. Maybe Baby tomorrow steps. Night.
Baby steps.
Yeah.
So how are you working through anxiety? What's that look like?
Well, I'm really just starting in it.
Okay.
Where I'm just really starting where the Lord's like, you have got to take care of this, Alicia. Yeah. So, I don't know. I'll have to come back to that one because right. we're just starting in the process of that.
Right.
But yeah.
I definitely want to hear about it, Lena.
More of like trusting, like I do trust in him, right? Mm-hmm. But I need to trust in him in everything, not just certain things.
Yeah.
And I think that's still something that I'm working on is giving it all to him and right. trusting him in everything, not just certain things. Mm-hmm. So I'm working in that.
Yeah. yeah. Getting to a spot where like your initial reaction isn't anxiousness.
Panic.
Yeah.
yeah.
Right.
yes.
I get that.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
I mean, I think we could all serve to probably get to that spot. Mm-hmm. if you arrive, let me know.
Right.
tell us how you got there.
Yeah. Because like when you text me, I was like, do you want to do the podcast? Like I went into pure panic and I was like, Marty, I can't do this. He was like, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I love
like, no,
that.
I really can't.
but here you are.
But you worked through it.
Yeah.
So that's like, a part of it, right?
I think maybe we need to go, like, take a sabbatical from church.
Time to step out.
You're asking too much. but it's not. It's literally the Lord.
So. Yeah, that's what he's using yeah. to help grow yeah. you.
That's cool.
It's good.
In those moments, are you reminded of any word?
Of anxiety?
Yeah.
Oh, there's so much.
Is there one that always pops up in you and allows you to?
Yeah, I have it saved.
Well, that's right.
I don't have it memorized. Proverbs 28, and it doesn't talk about anxiety, uh-huh. but Proverbs 28:26 is my go-to. It's like whoever, and I'm going to stumble on it, so let me pull it up and say it correctly.
Proverbs 28:26, you said?
Mm-hmm. 28:26, like whoever believes in his own mind is a fool. Mm-hmm. whoever trusts in me will be delivered. So that to me can go along with anxiety because like that's your mind, right? Playing tricks on you. And if I'm trusting my own mind, I am the fool.
Yeah.
Like I'm a fool every day that I let anxiety rule over me and that I trust my own mind over his. So that's my biggest verse that I love that verse.
Yeah.
And I'm always trying to, like, I probably, if I wanted other tattoos, I'd probably tattoo it on me. But, like, I just love that verse because it's just a good reminder.
Yeah. It'll be memorized everything. Soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
It was Proverbs 28, what?
26. 26. Isn't that right? Isn't that,
yeah. Those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe.
Mm-hmm. And I can't walk in wisdom if I'm not trusting fully in the Lord and that like whatever anxieties and fear that I have that he will take care of it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm a fool a lot of the time.
I'm trying to find a scripture. Hang on. Here it is in Isaiah. This is the one that I love for that has to do. Well, anytime you know you're walking through like one thing at a time, it makes me think of Jesus as Lord and what is he Lord over and what he's not over and what can we move back? What can we move over to him being mm-hmm. Lord over it? Like, how do we get it over there? And for me, you're talking about anxiety. It makes me think of this one that the Lord even gave me this earlier today, but it's Isaiah 43:18-19. And it says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And that always gets me like when we try to do things our way and we don't step out of the way enough for him to do something new and we want to revert back to our patterns and our ways mm-hmm. because we think our ways are better than his. Oh. And he's like, I need you to get out of the way.
Right.
Step aside, give this to me so that I can do a new thing.
Right. Yes. So. You fool.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like stop he gives that to me every.
Yes.
But it's a good reminder because he's like, hey, I can't do this. You can't grow. I can't continue to progress in you and through you for my glory if you're going to continue to hold me back and hold yourself back and not let me do the new thing.
Yeah. So that's definitely what I'm in the process of currently working on is letting him do the thing that he needs to do in my life.
Yeah.
And picking the back seat.
So that you are a woman who walks in wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's cool.
And how lucky are the women that get to walk with you. They get to witness firsthand.
Right.
A woman who does the hard things, that's, you know, it's what's being asked of them.
Because mm-hmm. it's hard. Yeah. Definitely. It's not easy, you know. You don't ever want to, or I don't ever want to make people think that it's easy. It's not always easy. Mm-mm. But again, in the end, it's, you know, when you do have that freedom, like, there's freedom and it's good.
Yeah.
You have to walk through the hard things.
We're fighting our flesh daily, mm-hmm. the temptations of the world. Yes. And, you know, we're not of this world, but we're here, and we're not like Jesus, where he was, right. he knew no sin.
Right.
So I don't think it gets easier, but it does get better in us choosing to change our minds.
Right.
And it becomes
yes.
more natural, I
yes.
think. But yeah, we'll never reach that perfection until we see him face to face.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
That's good. Lots of learning and growing progression.
There is. There's tons of it.
Like,
even from the way that I grew up to the way that I live my life now is completely night and day from each other. And so that has been obviously one of the biggest blessings in my life, to be able to go, wow, like, look where the Lord has
yeah.
me. And it's so good, because if I would have stayed true to how I grew up, I would be so worldly, mm-hmm. you know, I'm so thankful for him for that part.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
If you could give one thing to our listeners today, one tidbit, what would you give them?
Oh, man, I would ask you guys to find somebody to help you dig into the word and teach you how to dig into the word, so that then you can go home and dig into it yourself and know who the Lord is. Truly know who the Lord is without somebody standing up on stage and telling you who he is, mm-hmm. right? That you truly dig in yourself. You're taught how to dig in yourself. You're taught how to walk out hard things. Like, I would say discipleship. Find somebody who can disciple you, because it is truly life-changing.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I would have ever, or I know, I probably would not be where I am today had I not been in discipleship, had I not landed at Herod Church or been in a discipleship relationship, because there's just something that's truly the Lord here giving men and women the ability to teach others how to dig into the word and truly know him and have an intimate relationship. It's just, that's what I would encourage people to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah, it's good.
Are our microphones going in and out?
I don't know if yours or mine is, but I know hers is.
Oh, awesome.
It's not you.
No, it's not you.
Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's not plugged in all the way. And then I'm also curious to go back and listen to this later, because I wonder how much of Noah we can hear on the drums.
Oh, that's all right.
It's picking it all up. But, well, thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
I loved having you and hearing yeah. about your journey and where you are and how yeah. you're progressing.
Yeah, it's good.
You want to pray us out?
Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for allowing me to get out of my comfort zone to even come here and to do this podcast, Lord. I hope that anyone listening here can see that, like, you're shining through all of this, Lord. Like, all the glory goes to you. Thank you for these two women, Lord, that you've placed in my life. I love them dearly. And just thank you for today. In your name, amen.
Amen. All right. Grace and peace, you guys. Have a good week.
Bye, too. You looked at me like I was supposed to say more. Cue the music.